إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 10th session in reading from the explanation of Riyadh al-Salihin by al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, the chapter entitled Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat, and he hastening towards doing good deeds. Wal-Hathu ala man tawajjaha ila khayrin ala al-Iqbal alayhi bil-jid min ghayri taraddud. Yani an urging the one who is headed towards good to advance with eagerness, diligence, and without hesitation. Before we look at the hadith that we're going to discuss tonight, which is the 7th hadith in this chapter, and hadith number 93 from Riyadh al-Salihin, I want to quickly review some of the subjects or some of the points that we discussed last week from the question and study guide number 9. So the first question, discuss or describe briefly the circumstances prompting the narration of this hadith, yani hadith number 92. Last week's hadith. Discuss briefly the circumstances prompting the narration of this hadith, that is, the time period and the problem. The time period in which it took place and what was the problem. Now, Musa.
The time period was during the Khalifa of Bani Umayyah.
Okay, during the Khilafah of Bani Umayyah. Now.
And they were afflicted from Al-Hajjaj, who
okay.
was
Yani the Khalifa had appointed him as an emir over the people. Naam.
He was afflicting them with a lot of trials.
A lot of trials, yani oppression, injustice. Naam. Anybody want to add to that? Okay. Yani, as he said, it was a time period of the Khilafa, Bani Umayyad, and the emir over them at that time was Al-Hajjaj. He was and a person who had caused a lot of harm to the people. So some of the people came together and they went to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of the prolific narrators of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who lived for a long time until about the 90th year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the end, yani during his lifetime, some of the fitna began and the people came to him complaining about the harm that they were receiving at the hands of Al-Hajjaj. Second question, mention the name of the governor in authority over them and what he was known for. Naam, Abdul Haq.
Al-Hajjaj
ibn Yusuf. Al-Thaqafi. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Naam.
He was an Umayyad ruler. He was known as an oppressor, a shedder of blood.
Naam, he was known for oppression and shedding blood. Naam.
Tyrannical and stubborn.
Tyrannical and stubborn. And anything else about him? Somebody else. What else did the Shaykh mention last week? What else? What, yani, that's in line with this? He was one who was known for what? Yes, Walid. He was the man who besieged Mecca and fighting against who? Abdul ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhu. And he did, during the siege of Mecca, what? He used the catapult to throw boulders at the Kaaba, in which he destroyed some of the Kaaba in the process, causing great harm to the people in his time. Now, question number three, in one word, mention the advice given, Yani by Anas ibn Malik, to those who were complaining. And how does this advice that he gave relate to the cause of the problem? How does it relate to the cause of the problem? Now, Mustafa on this side. Mustafa, we'll come back to you. I saw him first. So that was Mustafa. Both of them raising their hand, right? Two different directions, but I was looking this way. Sorry, now.
So his advice was for them to be patient.
His advice was to them, be patient. Asbiru. Be patient. And be patient with the tyranny, the oppression, the injustice from the ruler. How is this related to the problem itself? Yani his advice to them to be patient with the yani oppression, the tyranny, the injustice they were receiving from the ruler. How is it related to yani the cause of the problem? And the problem was the injustice they were receiving. Now,
because of their wrongdoing, law placed that oppressor over them.
Naam, because yani it is common that Allah may place a ruler over a people due to their own injustice and wrongdoing. Yani somebody who will do injustice to them and wrong them. Naam. So that yani the cause of the problem was from their own hands. Yani Allah placed somebody over them to do wrong to them because they themselves were wrongdoers. Question number four. Mention the ayah in the 6th surah, 129th ayah, which supports the reason why the above advice was given and the athar related to it. Yani the ayah, naam, Musa.
لَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ.
Naam. The meaning of this ayah, somebody help us with the meaning of the ayah. Yani naam, Siddiq.
And thus we have made the zalim, the pallies and the wrongdoers, the awliya supporters and helpers, one to another in committing crimes, etc., because of that which they used to.
This is one of the meanings that the translation here that he's reading is one of the meanings of this ayah. Yani that like that, kadhalik, yani we have made some of the wrongdoers, yani friends and supporters and helpers of one another in wrongdoing and sin and injustice. This is one of the meanings that they are awliya one of another. But the meaning that is intended here by the Shaykh in quoting this ayah is a different meaning. What is the meaning that the Shaykh intends here? That we quoted from Tafsir ibn Kathir. Now,
wrongdoers.
Naam, that Allah will place some zalimeen, yani وكذلك نولي بعض الظالمين بعضا. Yani we'll place some of the zalimeen over others. Huh? بما كانوا يكسبون. Yani due to the wrong that they were doing, then wrongdoers will be placed over them to do wrong to them and to punish them and to take revenge against them. The meaning here is not that they are friends of one another. Rather, a wrongdoer like them will be placed over them to punish them due to what they were doing. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Due to what their hands have earned. And the athar that the Shaykh mentions here that's in line with this. And the meaning here is that what? That those people were complaining about wrongdoing coming from the ruler. It was due to their own wrongdoing. And this is what the meaning of the ayat that we quoted last week, that's in line with what the Shaykh intended by mentioning this ayah. And there's an athar that he also mentioned. Naam. Anybody remembers this athar? And he said, the Shaykh said, yani it is not a hadith. Naam, it's a saying. Naam, that was narrated. Only one person remembers it. Naam. Naam, hold on, Musa. Usama. Naam, sorry. I mean, that is the incident that took place. But we're saying that there's a saying that the people said that's in line with this ayat. Naam, Muhammad.
كَمَا تَكُونُ يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ.
Naam, كَمَا تَكُونُونَ يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ. Yani just as you are, the way you act, in accordance with that, rulers will be placed over you. In accordance with that, rulers will be placed over you. So you have to look at yourself first. They're always trying to find somebody else to blame. After this, memorize the ayah in the third surah, 200 ayah, which details the means or the ways, yani the turuq and the asbab to success. The means and the ways to success, which with mention of each of these means or ways. Naam, the ayah first. Few people should have memorized the ayah. Naam, fadl.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون.
طيب, somebody tell us the meaning of this ayah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا يعني اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. Yeah, what is the meaning of the ayah? General meaning of it. General meaning. نعم أبو سعيد. Endure and be more patient than your enemy. Guard your territories. Station armies that permanently at the places from where the enemy can attack you. And fear Allah so that you may be successful. And also, yani, we don't have time to discuss this week what we discussed last week in terms of the meaning of this ayat. Yani, the translation here from the Noble Quran is one of the meanings yani, that's given for this ayat. The meaning that's intended by that the Shaykh yani, intended by this may be a little bit different. And that meaning is what we narrated yani, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in which he said that this ayat was revealed in reference to the people who used to maintain the masjids, who used to attend the masjids and used to perform the prayers in jama'ah, and they used to remember Allah. And this ayah was in reference to what? اصبروا يعني على صلوات الخمس يعني be patient with performing the five prayers. وصابروا على أنفسكم وحواكم يعني and be patient يعني overcome يعني be more patient than your nafs and your hawa that would prevent you from performing those prayers in congregation. Huh? ورابطوا يعني meaning what? He said here in the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Rabitu, he said it means here what? To wait after performing one prayer to the next prayer. To wait. Intidhar as-salat ba'd as-salat. After performing one prayer, stay and wait for the next prayer. And in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yani, in a long hadith, longer hadith, he said, وَذَلِكَ الرِّبَاط وَذَلِكَ الرِّبَاط وَذَلِكَ الرِّبَاط. Yani, waiting from one prayer to the next prayer is what is intended here by Rabitu. And this understanding of the ayat is what came from Abu Hurairah, and it came from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other narrations that brought this kind of meaning that is a little bit more personally applicable to every individual. And every individual is not going to be on the frontier guarding the borders, but every individual has to guard the borders of their ibadah and their worship of Allah and the salat and the jama'ah and the masajid. And whoever does these things, yani as-sabr wa musabara wa murabata with taqwa, then these, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, these are the asbab, and these are the turuq, yani the means and the causes and the ways of success. Yani those four things that we mentioned in this, that the Shaykh mentioned, he said these are four things. If a person wants to be successful, then these are the means, these are the ways, and that is as-sabr, yani being patient, and musabra, outdoing the enemy in patience, and murabata, yani guarding the frontiers, or guarding the prayers in the masjid, and at taqwa, observing your duty to Allah, what He has commanded and prohibited, and in this way you will be successful. Question number 6, memorize the statement of the Prophet ﷺ which clearly foretold the evil times ahead. The statement of the Prophet ﷺ which clearly foretold the evil times ahead. Now who remembers yani, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ from the hadith of Anas, yani, which part of it was the statement of the Prophet? Now, Tayyib. Yeah, Mustafa. Now. Now, there's no time that will come except that the one following will be worse than it. Naam. Hatta talqa rabbakum. Naam. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he in this hadith that Anas narrates to him, when he told him to be patient, and then he told him why to be patient, because he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la yati alaykum zaman illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu hatta talqa rabbakum. And in no time will come to you except if you don't take advantage of it and utilize it, then the time after is going to be even more difficult and more evil. So don't say it's difficult right now, it's going to get worse. If you don't do something now, when will you do it? When it gets worse?
That's what people say today. They never see times like this. So much evil.
And what's coming is going to be worse. Question number 7. How has the Shaykh rahimahullah explained the cause of this increase in evil, which destroys the people and the society? Which destroys the people and the society. Yani, how did he explain the cause of this increase in evil? Why would there be increase in evil? What would be the cause of it? Yani, in brief, naam.
As well, people increase in wealth.
Naam. As people increase in wealth and give attention to wealth and affluence and just comfort and enjoyment of the pleasures of the world, physical pleasures for their physical body, then they will begin to ignore yani the heart. yani the needs of the heart. And as a result of that, their most important concern will be the dunya. And this is the cause of evil. Yani what destroyed the people is their concern, their competing for the dunya, which is what we see in the world today. May Allah save us from this. May Allah save us from this. Naam. And after this, discuss the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah comparing wealth to the toilet or a donkey. What was the statement? The Shaykh said, fi yani ma ma'anahu, yani the meaning of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, general meaning of what he said is what? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, naam, Walid.
Huh?
Using the donkey for riding. And using the bathroom to discharge, to relieve yourself. Yani, what is like this? I mean, what did he compare this to? Huh? What is the means?
Money.
Money, 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 money. He said that money should be used in the same way that a donkey is used for riding. That's its purpose. It's used for riding. Money has a purpose. Don't let it be more than that. It has a purpose. Yani, the toilet has a purpose. It's for you to relieve yourself. It's no more than that. It's no more than that. We were not created for money. Money was, the things in the world was created for human beings to utilize, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people became occupied with that which was created for them. The things of this world were created for you. And we became occupied with that and distracted from that, the one for whom we were created. That is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a serious matter. And this statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is a powerful statement that yani we all need to give some time to reflect upon. Question number 9, discuss the main point derived from this hadith and the second part of it, the consolation for those who have been wronged in the dunya. What is the main point derived from this hadith, as the Shaykh says fil hadith? Yani the main point is what? In this hadith, the main point is what? Naam, Taib, Mustafa. Okay, the rulers reflect the subject, that's true, but yani, naam, go ahead.
Regardless of what's going on, be patient.
Regardless of what's going on, be patient, naam. A little more specific, that's it for sure, but yani, more specific?
People have to be patient concerning the rulers, even though they wrong them.
Even though they wrong, yani, wujub as-sabr, bil-jawr, wa-dhulm, wulatul umur. Yani, the obligation. Yani, as I told them, isbiru. And he commanded them, be patient. It's obligatory to be patient with the injustice and the tyranny and the oppression and the wrongdoing of the rulers. It's obligatory to be patient with this. And the consolation for those who have been wronged in this world, Mustafa on this side?
Yeah. And on the day of judgment.
On this side, there's two Mustafas on this side, right? I mean in back. The number one Mustafa, the elder Mustafa.
On the day of judgment, you will have your rights back.
On the day of judgment, everybody will be given their rights. Yani everybody would. Now.
Obedience to Allah is obligatory no matter what the situation.
But the consolation, right. The consolation, the person who has been wronged, injustice has been done to them, they are depressed, they are overwhelmed by this. What is their consolation? Yawm al-Qiyamah. Everybody's going to stand before Allah, before the just judge, who's going to compensate everybody for the wrong. Yani injustice is not going to just go away, float in the air like dust particles. Rather, everybody's going to be called to account. And if you have been wronged, yani you'll be compensated. There's no doubt about it. That's a fact. And whoever knows that, then this is an act of worship. Yani to wait for the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reward of Allah and the compensation from Allah for injustice that has been done by anybody who has been wronged. And the last question mentioned the hadith related to being patient, awaiting relief from Allah and ease coming with difficulty. Now, Musa.
النصر مع الصبر وأن
الفرج
مع الكرب وأن مع الأسر يسر
وأن مع الأسر يسر نعم يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said no that what النصر مع الصبر النصر victory support help from Allah comes with patience it's incumbent to be patient the نصر will come إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح the نصر from Allah it will come if the people are patient وأن الفرج مع الكرب and that what? Relief comes with difficulties and hardship. When there's difficulties and hardship, relief is coming. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And with the difficulty, with hardship, along with it, there's ease. There's ease. نعم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, tonight, inshallah, بإذن الله تعالى. يعني we have a long subject. يعني this hadith has 7 points. يعني normally in any hadith that we take, there's 2 or 3 points maybe that we're going to focus on. In this hadith, there are 7 points. Every one of them is a subject in itself. Every one of them is a subject in itself. So may Allah help us, yani, to grasp what is in front of us. And by the way, yani, the Shaykh Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya, he explained this very hadith in Riyadh al-Salihin 2 times. In the early part of the book and the later part of the book, the hadith came twice. He explained it twice, and each time he explained it with benefits in one that he didn't mention in the other. So we're between yani, 2 of his explanations, and it's quite yani, difficult. In any case, the hadith for tonight, yani, the 93rd hadith in Riyadh al-Salihin, and as I said, it came again later on. It is al-hadith al-sabi', yani, the 7th hadith from this chapter, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, بادروا بالعمال سبعا, هل تنتظرون إلا فقرا منسيا, أو غنا مطغيا, أو مرضا مفسدا, أو حرما مفندا, and in the actual, any, in some of the narrations of this hadith, مفندا, but in any case, يعني the meaning is pretty much the same, أو موتا مجهزا, أو الدجال فشر in the Riyadh al-Salihin says شر with تنوين, and it should be مضاف إليه with a single, يعني vowel, شر غائب ينتظر, أو الساعة فساعة أدهى وأمر, رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وقال حديث حسن. يعني in brief, the hadith from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بادروا بالعمال سبعا, يعني hasten to compete, to be ahead of, يعني 7 things. Beat them with what? الأعمال الصالحة, with righteous deeds. Try to do righteous deeds before these 7 affairs. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, هل تنتظرون, يعني what are you waiting for? Are you waiting إلا فقرا منسيا, are you waiting for anything except يعني poverty that will cause you to forget, يعني poverty that will affect the body due to its severity, and that will affect your deen due to the laziness that it will cause on you, يعني that will be a result of it, sickness, I'm sorry, poverty, يعني the poverty, he said what, يعني فقرا منسيا, يعني that will cause you to forget, يعني due to being occupied with seeking your basic needs. A person is in poverty, needs food and drink and clothing, and because they're being occupied with just trying to get the basic necessities, they forgot about the remembrance of Allah, the worship of Allah, obedience to Allah, and the other more important things in life. أو غنى مطغيا, يعني affluence, a person who has wealth that caused them يعني to transgress the limits, transgress all bounds. مطغيًا, يعني will cause them to transgress all bounds. They will go beyond the bounds that Allah has set. أو مرضًا مفسدًا, يعني a sickness that will spoil, that will ruin a person's life, will ruin their affairs, يعني due to the severity of the sickness, how it affects their body, how it affects their mind, how it affects their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أو حرما مفندا, يعني or senility, يعني old age, a condition of old age that causes a person, يعني that not only affects them physically, that they become weak, but their mind, their mental state is not the same as when they were young. يعني their ability to remember, even short term, they can't remember what happened 5 minutes ago. Some of us are already suffering to some extent from this. يعني you can't comprehend, understand the intellect. Your mental faculties are no longer functioning like they used to. يعني حرمًا مفنيدًا. It affects, يعني old age, senility that affects a person's ability to do whatever they need to do. أو موتًا مجهزًا, or death that will come quickly. يعني will come surprisingly, unexpectedly, unannounced. a person wouldn't have a chance to repent. They wouldn't have a chance to write a will. They wouldn't have a chance to khalas, it just came quickly. Oh, ad-dajjal. What are you waiting for? These things, are you waiting for the dajjal? For sharrun ghaibin. Yani evil that is absent, but it is being awaited. Yani it's known that it is coming. Our sa'ata fasa'atu adha wa amar. Or are you waiting for the hour of judgment? Yani, the hour of judgment, which would be the most severe of all calamities, the worst and most difficult thing that will occur. Yani, the dajjal of the fitan of the things in this world, the most severe of them is the dajjal, or the hour of judgment, yani, is the most severe of the things that people will suffer, yani, in the next life, and it is the most bitter of them, especially for the one who hasn't prepared for it before it came. The hour of judgment is the most bitter for the one who hasn't prepared for it. And this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, and he said, hadith Hasan, that's the way it came in Riyadh al-Salihin. In the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, he said, hadith Hasan Ghareeb. And I don't want to get into the discussion of the technical terminology, but some of the scholars, like Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said that if a Tirmidhi says hadith Hasan, then he means, according to his terminology, it means that it's Hasan because of many chains. Together, they make it Hasan. Yani Hasan li ghayrihi. If he says Hasan Ghareeb, it means that it only came with one chain, one isnad, and therefore it's Hasan li dhatihi. If he said Hasan Ghareeb, then a Tirmidhi means by that, that the hadith is Hasan in and of itself, without any supporting narrations. And if he says Ghareeb, he means that generally, yani means, Ghareeb means, yani there's only one narrator in some level of the chain. There's only one person who narrated on one of the levels, and that is usually, but it doesn't have to be, a weak hadith. In any case, here, yani, in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, he said Hasan Ghareeb, which means that Tirmidhi considered this hadith to be Hasan li dhatihi. Yani a hadith that's Hasan by itself, without any supporting narrations. That's what is understood from this. Wallahu a'lam. In At-Tuhfa, yani Tuhfa al-Ahwadi, the famous book of explanation of Sunan al-Tirmidhi by the great Indian scholar, yani Muhammad Abdurrahman ibn Abdurrahim al-Mubarak Furi, in 10 volumes explanation of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, yani he says, Tirmidhi's statement concerning this hadith Hasan Ghareeb or Ghareeb Hasan, he says that it has also been narrated by An-Nasai and Al-Hakim, who said that it's Sahih. Al-Hakim said that it's Sahih, and Al-Manawi, the great Indian scholar who explained Jami' al-Saghir, and Manawi says, وَأَقَرُّهُ, and they agreed with him on this. So there are some scholars who consider this hadith to be at least Hasan, or to be even Sahih. But Al-Mubarak Furi, he says, قُلْتُ فِي سَنَدْ التِّرْمِذِي, in the chain of narration from Tirmidhi, is Muharriz, or Muharrar, Ibn Harun, وَقَدْ عَرَفْتَ حَالُهُ, and you already know what his condition is, meaning that يعني, the Shaykh already mentioned his condition where he quoted from Ibn Hajar in At-Taqrib. He said that Muharrun يعني, is matruk min al-sabir, from the seventh level. He's matruk. يعني, that narrator in this chain is matruk. He's rejected. He's abandoned. يعني, this is a severe criticism. That's what Al-Mubarak Furi said, that Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani says in At-Taqrib. Okay, so yani, in any case, the important thing here is that this hadith, yani, some other scholars obviously yani, agree with Mubarak Furi here that there's an narrator in this chain which is matruk, and therefore Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, in some of yani, in the checking tahqiq of Riyadh al-Salihin, he said da'if. And in some of the other books, in Silsila al-Hadith al-Da'ifa and in Jami' al-Saghir, he said, "Fi sanadihi da'af." Yani, in its chain, there's some weakness. And in another place, he said, "Isnaduhu da'if." Yani, the chain of narration is da'if. So, yani, there are some scholars who considered it, At-Tirmidhi considered it to be Hasan, Al-Hakim considered it to be Sahih, some others agreed with him, and other scholars said that it is weak. So there's some difference of opinion about this hadith. It's important for us to be aware to be aware that there's difference of opinion about it. In any case, we're going to discuss the meaning of this hadith yani as best we can from what the Shaykh has said, yani Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. Before we do so, yani I just want to mention that the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen has explained this hadith in Riyad al-Salihin in two different places where it came with explanations, each of them containing many points that are not in the other explanation. So the explanation that we're reading from in the English translation is the first explanation that he gave. And I'm going to also take some comments from the second explanation he gave for the benefit that he brought in the second explanation when the hadith came again later on. Okay, the sharh of this hadith, and I'm going to have to pay attention to the time because I realize, yani, in the explanation of this hadith, I'm going to begin with what the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said in the second explanation. It's not in the book. He said, هذا الحديث ذكره المؤلف النووي رحمه الله في كتاب رياض الصالحين في باب ذكر الموت وقصر العمل. Yani, this is the second place where Al-Imam Al-Nawwi mentioned this hadith in the chapter of the mention of death and the shortness of one's hope of a long life or whatever. From Abu Hurairah, and then he mentions the hadith. And he says, بادروا بالعمال سبعا, hasten to do good deeds before seven. يعني, work or do good deeds before you are afflicted by these seven things which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in this hadith. Hasten to do good deeds before you are afflicted by any one of these seven things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith. فَبَادِرُوا بِهَا. So hasten to beat those seven things by doing good deeds before you are afflicted by one of them. In this explanation that we have in front of us, the Shaykh says, it has already been mentioned, سبق لنا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر في أحاديث متعددة ما يدل على أنه من الحزم أن يبادر الإنسان بالأعمال الصالحة. Yani, it has already been mentioned to us that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned in the number of hadith that which points to the fact that from wisdom, yani from being judicious and prudent, a person who is smart and intelligent, this it requires that a person would hasten yubadira al-insan bil-amal al-salihah, that a person would hasten to do good deeds if you know that it's possible that you may be afflicted with these kind of things that will make it difficult or prevent you absolutely from doing any good deeds. And in this hadith specifically, those other hadith have pointed to this, and in this hadith specifically the Prophet ﷺ has pointed to a number of things. يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانَ أَنْ يُبَادِرُ بِالْعَمَالِ حَضَرًا مِنْهَا. It is incumbent for the human being to hasten to do good deeds for fear of these seven things afflicting him or her. Huh? It is incumbent upon you to hasten to do good deeds before you're afflicted from these things. And the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh says, the first thing that he said is بَادِرُ بِالْعَمَالِ سَبْعًا, meaning seven things. All of them are surrounding the human being. يَخْشَان تُصِيبَهُ, and it is feared that any one of them may afflict him. Seven things that surround the human being, it is feared that any one of them may afflict you. Prophet said, hasten to do good deeds before these things that are all around you, waiting to fall upon you, before they befall you. وَمِنْهَا الْفَقْرَ, and from amongst them is poverty. And the Prophet ﷺ said, هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا أو غنى مطغيا. Are you waiting for anything except poverty that will cause you to forget, or affluence, wealth, riches that would cause you to transgress all bounds, which would cause you to become a transgressor, a tyrant, an oppressor, a wrongdoer to other people because of your wealth? Is that what you're waiting for? What are you waiting for? Yani, it's as though the Prophet ﷺ is saying, is pointing to the shortcoming of us, that we have fallen short in doing what Allah has a right to. And he's saying, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting until you won't be able to do them? Until you're afflicted with poverty that will cause you to forget? وَمِنْهَا الْفَقْرَ. The Shaykh says, the human being is between these two conditions in reference to their provisions, their sustenance. They are between these two things, either one or the other. Not at the same time. A person is not going to be wealthy and in poverty at the same time. And it's either one or the other. You're between the two of them. If Allah bless a person, he will not be afflicted by either one of them. Not by the affluence that will cause that person to become a transgressor, nor by the poverty that will cause the person to forget their duties to Allah and the remembrance of Allah. If a person is blessed by Allah, they will not be afflicted by either of them. But other people will be afflicted by one of them. Yani, the Shaykh said, what? That the human being is between these two conditions in reference to the risk. In one case, Allah will enrich that person and give them an increase and support and help and aid through wealth or children or ahl, family, or qusur, palaces, or maraqib. Yani maraqib, vehicles that the people ride upon on land or on sea. Or jah, yani prestige, status amongst the people, or other than that, from the matters of yani affluence and wealth. A person, Allah may enrich the person with some of these things. So if when that person sees himself or herself in this condition, فَأَنَّهُ يَطْغَى, then he transgresses the limits, goes beyond all bounds. وَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. وَيُزِيدُ وَيَتَكَبَّرُ, and then he goes further and he becomes proud and arrogant and haughty. وَيَسْتَنْقِفُ عَنْ إِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ, and the person what? Looks down upon the worship of Allah. And they have aversion to worship Allah. They don't see it as being something important when they reach that point. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Alaq, يعني 96 surah, 6, 7th and 8th ayat, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطَغَى, nay, indeed the human being will definitely transgress all bounds. لَيَطَغَى, definitely. رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى, when he sees himself يعني being without need, self-sufficient. I have so much, I'm self-sufficient, I don't need Allah. So that person, now he does what? Transgress all bounds. إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجْعَى, but know indeed, to your Rabb is the return. Huh? Just remember that. يعني, no matter what the human being have reached of istighna, self-sufficiency, wal-ulu, and high station or status, indeed, your return is to Allah. And we, the Shaykh said, we witness yani this ghina, people who are wealthy and affluent, we see how it became a cause for the facade, corruption of the people, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. We see this, na'am, in some societies where people are very wealthy. I'm talking about the Muslim society. The Kafir society are already corrupt. Talk about the Muslim society, how they became corrupted by affluence and wealth. Naam, that's a fact. We have seen this, eyewitness. We find that the human being, when he is in the condition of poverty, he is humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns to Allah in humility. And he is repenting to Allah. Muniban ilayhi wa munkasiran nafs. And his yani, he is like the person who has been defeated in front of Allah. Yani, he what? Comes to Allah like the one who has been defeated in total submission and humility. He doesn't have tughyan, yani, tyranny, transgression, stubbornness. But then if Allah, yani, helps him, supports him, gives him wealth, istakbara, then he becomes proud and arrogant. وَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. And this affluence, أَتْغَاهُ غِنَاهُ, أَتْغَاهُ, yani the affluence, it caused him to transgress the bounds. That was the real cause, if a person doesn't control it. Or the opposite, فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا, poverty that caused you to forget. يعني الفقر قلة ذات اليد, a person doesn't have much in their hand. يعني the person doesn't have any wealth, they don't have any money, So this faqr, yunsi al-insan masali kathira, it causes the human being to forget many things that are in their interests, that will be of benefit to them. This type of poverty, a person doesn't have any money, it causes the person to forget masali kathira. لِأَنَّهُ يَشْتَغُلْ بِالطَّلَبِ الرِّزْقِ عَنَ الْأَشْيَاءَ كَثِيرَةً تُهِمُّهُ. Because while he's occupied with seeking his sustenance, so he became occupied from many things that are important to him. And if you try to tell somebody, but you need to be doing this, obedience to Allah, worshiping Allah, but I gotta get some money, I got no food, I don't have a place to live, I ain't got time for that. وَهَذَا شَيْءٍ مُشَاهِدٍ. And this is also something that we see. Naam. We have seen it. It is witnesses. For this reason, it is feared for the human being from these two conditions. Yani either the ghina, the affluence, al-mutghi, that causes a person to transgress the bounds and go beyond the limit, or the faqr, the poverty, al-munsi, that causes a person to forget that which is important to them, their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. So if Allah bless the abd with affluence, that doesn't cause them to transgress the bounds, or the condition of poverty that doesn't cause them to forget their duty to Allah. If a person is blessed with this condition, that they have affluence that doesn't cause them to go beyond the bounds, or they have poverty that doesn't cause them to forget any that which is important for them, كَانَتْ حَالُهُ وَسَطًا, and his condition is moderate, and his ibadah is mustaqima, is upright, he's worshipping Allah the way it is due to him, وَحْوَالُ قَوِيمًا, and his condition, his circumstances, and situations are also straight, yani correct. فَهَذِهِ هِيَ سَعَدَةُ الدُّنْيَا. This is the real good fortune, happiness, and success in this world. That a person has moderate condition, but their worship is good, their circumstances is good, they're worshipping Allah the way it's due to him. This is the happiness that a person can expect in this world. Happiness in this world is not kathratul mal, yani plenty of wealth. لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ يُطْغِي, because it might cause the person to what? Transgress the bounds. Plenty of wealth. And for this reason, reflect on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 97th Ayat. I think Nahl is 16th Surah. Help me, somebody. Somebody confirm it or correct it. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, من عمل سبع وتسعو 27th surah. Nahl. Not Naman, Nahl. 16, okay.
1628.
Okay, 16th surah, 97th ayat. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن. Whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, and that person is a believer. Key here, right? A lot of people doing good deeds, وهو مؤمن, but they have to be a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Then we would definitely give this person a good life. And in this world, حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ, يعني we reward them in the next life, أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. يَعْمَلُونَ, نعم. And we reward them in the next life with the best of what they used to do. يعني reward according to the best of what they used to do. Not the least of it, but Allah will reward according to the best of what he used to do. Huh? This is what? Whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, and they are believer, then Allah promised he would definitely give you the good life, and he reward you and in the next life according with the reward according to the best of what he used to do. He didn't say whoever does good righteous deeds, male or female, that we will expand upon him his wealth, or that we will give him a lot of wealth. Allah didn't say that. Whoever believes and does good deeds, we're going to give you a lot of wealth. He didn't say that. Rather, he said we will give him a good life, either with a lot of wealth or with a little bit of wealth. Doesn't matter. Good life, it's not determined by you have a lot or a little bit. That's not really the determining factor. Might be a lot of wealth, might be a little bit of wealth. But Allah will give that person hayatun tayyibah, a good life in this world. And it has been mentioned, وَيُذْكَرْ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَا يَرْوِهِ عَنِ اللَّهِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْقُدْسِ. Note, I want to make a note to the word here, يُذْكَرْ. And he didn't say, رَوَى. He said, يُذْكَرْ, it has been mentioned from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in that which he narrates from Allah in the Hadith Qudsi. And the reason why the Shaykh says يُذْكَرْ here is like رُوِيَة. And it has been narrated, not رَوَى. This means, this is the suggestion of weakness of the narration. And the hadith that he mentions here is not authentic. Okay, but anyway, the Shaykh, he said, yudhkar, right, to make note that, yani, this is something that has been reported in the hadith Qudsi. That indeed from my servants, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed from my servants is the one who, if I enriched him, gave him a lot of wealth, it was, لَأَفْسَدَهُ الْغِنَى. Yani, this wealth will corrupt him. يعني أطغاه وأضله وصده عن الآخرة وإياذ بالله. يعني the meaning of this statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if there are some from amongst my servants, if I were to give them a lot of wealth, it would corrupt them. يعني it would cause them to transgress the bounds, it would cause them to go astray, it would close the way from the آخرة for them, and we seek refuge in Allah from such. And then he went on to say, and also from amongst my servants are those who, if I cause them to be in poverty, that would corrupt them. Yani poverty would cause harm to them. And this indeed is the waqiyah, the reality of what we find from amongst the people. There are some who poverty is good for them. Now, their poverty is good for them. They're good with that. If they were to be given a lot of wealth, they lose their minds. Yani the Shaykh is saying that there are indeed some from amongst the people who Allah has caused them to be in poverty. They don't have much, but guess what? They're worshipping Allah. In that condition, they're able to work with that. And from amongst the people, there are those who wealth and affluence is good for them. Yani, having a lot of wealth is good for them. They spend in the way of Allah, they're doing good, charity. That condition is good for that person. For another person, they won't be able to make it. Maybe that person, if Allah put poverty on them, they won't be able to make it. But Allah knows what to give His servant. What condition will help them and what condition will hurt them. Naam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadhara min ghina mutghin wa faqrin munsin. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, he has warned against the affluence that causes, that affluence which causes the person to transgress bounds. That's what we're concerned about. We're not concerned about you can't have money, person can't have wealth. No. But if that wealth causes that person to transgress the bounds, that's a problem. But it doesn't do that for everybody. Some people, Allah gave them a lot of wealth and they're spending in the way of Allah. And there are many examples of this that we can find everywhere amongst the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ is warning against what type of wealth? Wealth that causes a person to transgress the bounds. What type of poverty? The poverty that causes a person to forget. Yani in the Shaykh, in the other explanation, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, yani the poverty that causes a person to forget, yani in the other explanation he said, yani that this person will be afflicted with poverty that cause him to forget the remembrance of his Rabb. Cause him to forget the remembrance of his Rabb. Because poverty, and we seek refuge, and he said, I seek refuge for me in Allah and for you. Because poverty, there's some kinds of poverty that's like a coat of armor that the person wears. They can't escape from it. It's like they locked in. So there is some poverty that we fear. This poverty harms the person. The Shaykh says, yani concerning this type of poverty, that a person might be poor and they need food and drink and clothing and a place to live and a spouse, and they didn't find any of those things. So the earth became tightened upon them, even though it's spacious. Yani they became dayyik, yani they depressed. And so the person, that person is going, seeking here and there, going every place, seeking to yani earn, to achieve those things that they are with, that they are in need of. And this caused them, their occupation with just trying to get the needs of necessity, caused them to forget Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this person finds themselves unable to fulfill the duties, the acts of worship yani that Allah has placed on them in the way that they should be done. In the way that they should be done. Maybe they pray, but they just, I gotta pray quickly and get back and out and make some money. You know? I'm gonna go to Jummah, but I'm not gonna get locked in the masjid. I'm gonna pray on the sidewalk and listen to the khutbah outside so I can run back to my work. Or whatever. I'm saying that's what happens. The person who might be in that condition. And some people are not even in poverty and they like that. A'udhu billah. And then the Shaykh says, in this explanation he says, and in the other explanation, very important, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ يَفُوتُهُ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ. And likewise, the person who's in this condition of poverty, yani, a lot of, many acts of worship pass that person by. Those acts of worship which require a person to have some wealth. Like what? Like a zakat. How do you give zakat? They ain't got no money. Like sadaqat, voluntary charities. They don't have any money. Like freeing of slaves. They don't have any money. Like performing hajj. How are they going to make hajj? They got no money. How much it costs to make hajj now? Least $7,000 or $8,000 or $9,000. Minimum. Yani bottom of the line hajj. Because they got no money. How are they going to make hajj? Or spending in the way of Allah. And all the different ways of spending. All that, all those acts of worship, pass them by. They don't got no money. And the Shaykh says, the affluence that caused the person to transgress all bounds, this is in the other explanation, he says, yani that Allah enriches a person and opens up the dunya for them so that they have access to everything, and this causes them to transgress their bounds, and then that person begins to see themselves as being without need of their Rabb. So they don't fulfill the obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon them, and they don't abstain from the things that Allah has prohibited them from. And then he mentioned the ayat, and from Surah Al-Alaq that we mentioned already. These are the first two things that are mentioned in this hadith. Ya'ani, poverty that causes a person to forget the remembrance of Allah, their duty to Allah, and things that are important to them. Or wealth that causes a person to transgress bounds, because they begin to think that I'm without need. I don't need anybody. I don't have to, ya'ani, comply with anybody. I can do whatever I want to do. Aren't there rich people who think they can just do whatever they want to do? To anybody, whoever they want to do it to. And that's what we see in the world today, unfortunately, even in the Muslim countries. Now, and I don't want to talk about the details because we don't have time for that, but whoever knows, knows. We see it in America for sure. Rich people abusing other people. Now, they could kill somebody and they don't even get any treatment program. They don't get anything. They just go away. And the poor people, they go to jail with 100 years and double life. And life without parole. They abuse. The rich people abuse the poor people. Now, the Shaykh says, وَثَالِثْ. The third thing, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا. Yani, a sickness that spoils and ruins everything. A sickness, يُفْسِدُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَحْوَالَهُ. Yani, it spoils all of his conditions. Every situation is spoiled due to this kind of poverty. It wrecks a person's life. So the human being, as long as he is sickness. This sickness that ruins a person's conditions. Yani, as long as a person is healthy, you find this person, yani, cheerful, happy, tolerant, yani, wasi al bal, yani, they can tolerate whatever happens. Whatever goes on, they don't get upset about it. They're good. As long as they're healthy, they can bear a lot. And they are friendly, yani, with others. They get in along with everybody. Walakin, if that person is afflicted with sickness, then they could become depressed. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْأَرْضِ. And they become like straitened situation. Yani, they don't feel happy and comfortable anymore. And they what? صَارَ حَمُّهُ نَفْسُهُ. The only thing that that person is concerned about now is their self. A person is sick, sometimes they don't care about nobody. Just me, I'm sick. I'm looking at me. I'm worried about me, that's it. This is how people become sometimes from sickness. It can be overwhelming. So you find this person in their sickness, yani that this sickness, tufsidu alayhi umur kathira, it ruins a lot of his affairs. He is not friendly with the people. He is not even relaxed and comfortable with his own family. Because, لأنه مريض ومتعب في نفسه. He's sick and he's worn out, exhausted, yani just tired. Sick and tired, as they say, right? Sick and tired. Now, That's how the Sheikh said it. Yani murid mutab, sick and tired. Now, in itself though, with himself because of his sickness. So the sickness, it spoils a person's affairs. And the human being, yani the Shaykh is saying, well, insan laysa daiman yakunu fi siha. But the human being is not always going to be healthy. Nobody's always going to be healthy. Right? So the sickness should be yantadiruhu kulla lahza. Yani we should be awaiting it every moment. It can come at any time. It doesn't have to be announced. How many of the people woke up in the morning active and healthy, and when they reached the evening, they were weak and sick? Or the opposite, a person reaches the evening sahihan, healthy, wa nashitan, active, lively, wa asbaha maridan, but they woke up in the morning sick and weak. Naam, went to sleep good, you woke up in the morning, what happened overnight? فالإنسان, so it is, and here the Shaykh is saying what? يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ. It is incumbent, obligatory upon the human being, and يُبَادِرَ إِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ, to hasten to do good deeds, حَذَرًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ, يعني out of fear of these affairs. Huh? So what does this mean to us? Wallahi, it means that a person has to look at themselves and get busy. Am I really doing all that I could be doing? Maybe my condition is going to change. Sickness, I may be afflicted with some sickness, I won't be able to do what I'm able to do now, but right now I'm busy, this, that, and other. A lot of excuses why I can't fast today, I can't get up in the qiyam in the night, I can't go to the masjid for jama'ah, I can't do a lot of things, because whatever excuses that we make. And the Shaykh is saying, it is incumbent upon the human being to hasten to do good deeds out of fear of these affairs that are surrounding the human being, ready to afflict him at any moment, which will make it very difficult or impossible for you to do the good deeds that you are able to do right now, but you're not doing them. What are you waiting for? The Prophet ﷺ, هَلْ تَنْتَذِرُونَ? What are you waiting for? And if you're not doing it now while you're young and healthy and strong and your situation is good, so what is the likelihood that you're going to do it when you become old and sick and in difficulty? It's not going to happen. So everybody has to look at yourself. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, in the other explanation of this point about the sickness that spoils and ruins a person's affairs, yani he said it ruins a person's life. Yani yufsidu al-insan hayatahu. It ruins his life. Because the human being, as long as he's healthy and he's active and he's happy and comfortable and the dunya is wide open in front of him, yani he has access to everything, he's good. But if sickness comes upon him, then his body becomes weak. And his nafs, his soul, is also weakened, and things become tightened around him. And then the person صار الإنسان دائما في حم والغم فتفسد عليه حياته. And this person now becomes always, right, in worry and grief and anxiety because of what, yani the effect of this sickness. And then the Shaykh says the fourth one. الرابع أو حرما مفندا حرما مفندا يعني old age, senility. The Shaykh says يعني he means يعني old age. The meaning of haram means يعني old age. So the human being, if he gets older and his life is lengthened, then it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمْرِ. Then he will be returned. When he gets very old and lives a long life, he will be turned to that, yani old age, that condition of senility. Yani ila aswa'i wa ara da'ihi. And there's a mistake here, yani in the Arabic text it should be, yani he is returned to ila aswa'ihi wa ara da'ihi. Yani to that which is, yani the worst, the most evil condition, and the most, yani despicable condition. So you find that a person who was well known to you to be the most intelligent of all men, very intelligent person, he goes back until he becomes like a child. And same thing with women too, right? And the Shaykh is using the masculine pronouns here, but it's for everybody, right? Rather, his condition is worse than the condition of a child. Because the child never had any intellect, didn't have knowledge. A baby, they didn't know anything anyway, from the beginning. فلا يدري عن الشيء, doesn't know anything. But this one who reached that age, قد عقل وفهم الأشياء, he understood, he had knowledge, and يعني he grasped the affairs, and then he was returned to this condition of old age. So this is like more difficult. يعني being in that condition after having known, now no longer knowing is very very difficult. And for this reason we find that those who return to this old age, يعني of senility, those who are يعني elderly, kibar sin, they are causing harm to their own families more severe than the harm that's caused by children. نعم لأنهم كانوا قد عقلوا, because they used to know. And we seek refuge, the Prophet ﷺ sought refuge, يعني sought refuge from being returned to this يعني difficult type of condition of old age. In the hadith concerning this in Bukhari and Muslim. And I just want to just quickly يعني mention here in this book, Seeking Refuge, Sheikh Abdul Razak, son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, he mentions some supplications concerning seeking refuge from this old age. And the fourth of them he mentions is haram, yani this old age senility. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, I seek refuge in you from old age or senility, which is when one reaches during his lifetime the age at which his senses and his strengths become weak and his comprehension and intellect become unstable. And this is the age of senility from which the Prophet ﷺ sought refuge, and he's saying, I seek refuge in you from being returned to senility. And the mention of this and the clarification of it has already preceded in another hadith. And then I want to mention here a very important point from the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh Abdul Razak mentions, he quotes from Shaykh Al-Alama Al-Shawkani, Imam Al-Shawkani, Rahimahullah, said, as for the one, and this is a very important point, as for the one, simply living a long life, while one's senses remain intact, and one's discernment and comprehension remain sound, this is something befitting to be supplicated for, not to be supplicated against. And having a long life in which your senses and your intellect is intact, this is something to supplicate for. Since the continued life of a believer, enjoying his senses, fulfilling the obligations placed upon him by Allah, avoiding that which is not lawful, entails the achievement of reward and an increase in khair. So there's a difference between the person who lives to old age and they're in that condition where they can't function anymore, and the person who lives to old age and they're in control of their senses and their faculties and they're able to do more worship, then this is something very good. I just wanted to mention that because some people might imagine that I don't want to live to be old. Naam, if you live to be old, worshipping Allah, this is very good. Naam. So the Shaykh, he says, so some of the people, we ask Allah, he said, first I ask Allah to protect me and you from being returned to this type of old age in which a person loses their senses and their intellect, and they're not able to function normally. Because the human being, if they're returned to this condition, then they become tired, ta'iba wa atba'a ghayrahu. Yani at'aba ghayrahu. Yani that person becomes tired and they also wear out others. Even the most closest of the people to that person when they're in that condition hopes, yatamanna an yamut, that the person would die. Yani the closest people to that person when they're in that condition, they'd be hoping that they would die because of the harm that that person is causing and the yani difficulty, the burden that they cause on the people. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَتَمْ يعني if this person doesn't hope, if they don't actually say it on their tongue that I wish this person, this old person would die, then perhaps they are wishing it بِلِسَانِ الْحَالِ. يعني that's the way they are actually feeling though. And that doesn't have to be, but that is the reality for many people. When a person reaches that age, in America, in the Western countries, they just put them in an old folks home. Get rid of them. I don't want to be bothered with this. This old person. That's your mother. That's your father. But that old, this old person, get him out of here. We don't want this. And even, unfortunately, in the Muslim lands, they're putting people in old folks' homes. But the tradition in the Muslim family is that when a person is old, they're with their family, being taken care of by their family. And we are yani going down the road of following the people that are leading to destruction. And the Shaykh says in the other explanation of this particular point, Naam, the other, and the time is yani upon us. So anyway, the Shaykh says in this point, yani senility, that yani causes the person to lose the physical strength and mental faculties, such that yani they are not functioning properly anymore. He said, we also seek refuge in Allah from haram, al-haram al-mufnid, yani meaning the old age, which causes a person, yani the strength of a person, destroys their strength. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ar-Rum, 30th Surah, 54th Ayat, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ دَعْفٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْ بَعْدَ دَعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ. Allah is the one who created you all from weakness, yani as a child, and then He made your condition after weakness to be strength, became strong when you grew up. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ دَعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. And then, after strength, Allah created the person in a condition of weakness and old age. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْقَدِيرُ. Allah is the one who creates whatever He wills, and He is the all-knowing, the one who has the power to do whatever He wills. So the human being, as long as the human being is نَشِيطًا شَابًا يَعْمَلُ الْإِبَادَةِ بِالنَّشَاطِ, as long as a person is what? Active, young, yani doing the acts of worship, actively able to worship Allah, يَتَوَضَّى بِالنَّشَاط, making wudu actively, not like the old people. Some of us are already old and we're having difficulty bending down to wash our feet in wudu, or lifting our leg up to get it to the faucet to wash your feet in wudu. Naam, some of us are already experiencing that. Some people's difficulty is more than that. They can't even make wudu. Somebody has to do it for them. The Shaykh is saying, as long as a person is able to worship Allah actively, and they're able to make wudu actively and pray actively, it's easy, and they're able to go to the circles of knowledge, they're actively able to do that, then fine. But إذا كبر فهو كما قال الله عز وجل عن زكريا. But if he became old, decrepit, and he can't function anymore, it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning Zakariya, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي وَحَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ رَأْسُ شَيْبًا. That indeed my bones, yani, oh my Rabb, indeed my bones have become weak, fragile, and my hair, yani, became white or grey, yani from old age, in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 4th Ayat. Meaning the person's bones became weak, and the bones are the skeleton upon which the body is built. So when they become weak, then the person's strength also is weakened, and they are not able to do what they used to do when they were young. Yani, if you are still young, even halfway still young, not old yet, Allah take advantage of it. Take advantage of your youth before old age, as the Prophet ﷺ said in another place. When the person becomes old, they are not able to do what they used to do when they were young. And this is, and then he mentioned some poetry. I don't like poetry. Naam. So, tayyib. Yani the fifth matter is death that comes swiftly. And the sixth matter is the Dajjal, which is an evil that is absent but being awaited for. And the seventh matter is the Sa'ah, the hour of judgment. And there's much that the Shaykh has said concerning these. And I don't really want to go like way over. So since, you know, it will be difficult to finish now, we'll stop at this point, number four. And the fifth, sixth, and seventh, yani we'll attend to in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And yani we already passed the hour and 10 minutes. So, inshallah, if there's a question, we'll take yani a question concerning anything that's not clear from what we said tonight, yani in this hadith tonight. If something that was said that's not clear now.
Is there any relationship with this hadith and an hadith that says the five before five?
Naam, all of these hadith are related, yani. All, of course, they're all related, yani. All of them are similar in the sense that what? That a person has to take advantage of the situation that they're in now before something else, right? Yeah. So the theme, the same theme is there. Yani what is important is that we realize that these things are waiting to befall us. Some of these things will not befall everyone. Yani, for example, death will befall everyone, right? But not sudden death. But not sudden death. Because a person may get sick. And they may live for 5 or 10 years, very, very sick. So they have a chance to repent to Allah. They have a chance to rectify what they have done wrong. They have a chance to write a will. They have a chance to do better. But the Prophet ﷺ is talking about what? Yani al-maut al-mujhiz. Yani sari'ah, that it overcomes you quickly without announcement. Without giving you a chance to prepare for it. So not everybody will be afflicted with that kind of death. But the one thing that everybody will be afflicted with, right, is the sa'ah. And it is the most difficult of affairs, but its difficulty and hardship can be reduced by what? Isti'adad. Preparing for it. Preparing for it. Yani sending something ahead. Sending something ahead. And Allah tells us that some people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, yani they will say, woe to me, would that I had sent something ahead for this life of mine. But then it's too late. Send me back. Let me go back. I'll do good this time. It has become clear now. Too late. No going back. In any case, yani what is incumbent upon us is to hasten and do the best you can. Every one of us have to look at ourselves and see, can we do better? Can we do more? Yani how can we do it different that will be more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because death may come suddenly, even though you might not be old. You might be young. But the death may come suddenly. And you didn't have a chance to do better, to do more, to do it a different way that will be more pleasing to Allah. You might not get that chance. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for it to be afflicted by one of these? Or will you be like the wise person who is prudent? Who will what? Who will take heed to the warning and hasten and do better. May Allah enable us to do better. To first place in our hearts a realization of the need to do better and a desire to do better. And give us the ability to do better. Bi-iznihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.